Satnam, everyone. Today is November 20th, 2012, as we leap towards December 21st, 2012, and beyond. Yes, it's sort of a twilight zone kind of moment here as we are moving into the completion of Sun in Scorpio. But we're definitely not moving into completion of the looking at what Scorpio represents, which is the Shadowland. And 3D that we see all around us, the Earth that we live on, actually is the Shadowland of the ethers. It's the yin and the yang. So when we have pure consciousness or pure oneness, which is total union with the divine, with source, and we're completely undifferentiated, kind of a long word, undifferentiated in our consciousness, like a newborn baby is, we have no sense of other or no sense of ourselves as separate from. We're just totally merged in that divine consciousness. That is the top level of the ladder of the 31 tattvas, which there's 31 layers of differentiation between the absolute merger with the oneness of the divine to the level of living in the world of 3D, or the world as we see around us. So we've got the yin and the yang, which are basically different levels of light. So as we've been talking about, so the master is, he's sending these tantric transmissions through, so he wants everybody to deep breathe. He's asking for, deeper breathing, like breathe into your belly. He's saying we're in Scorpio, we're talking about the tattvas, so he wants people to deeply feel their bodies. Okay, that's better, he's saying, during the transmissions. He's saying this transmission is to purify our... the way we work with the tattvas in our physical body. And if there wasn't the interplay of the tattvas, we wouldn't even have the physical realm. So we're talking about how the interplay of the tattvas, not that we want to get rid of them. He's saying, then that's really old school, where yogis would sit in caves and try to go beyond the tattvas. He's saying we're not trying to go beyond the tattvas. We're learning how to make distinctions, identify the tattvas, and be aware that we come from what consciousness we come from in managing them, knowing that we are the master of our ships and that we are here to direct how we work with these elements. And as we learn how to do that, we move into our own mastery. Good. He's saying that's a better configuration. So keep breathing into the belly. As we get into the first three chakras, that's where, so to speak, our issues or childhood issues or whatever issues are held, our earthly chakras, that this is what's coming up now during Scorpio. We're going into the depths of the Shadowland. We're going into the dark night of the winter, the shortest day of the seasons is coming up very soon. So we're heading towards the darkness. We're heading towards the underworld, the eighth house in astrology, the occult, the unseen. So this is what we are blessed with at this time. This is what we were working with, why the solar eclipse that we had, as we said a minute ago, solar eclipses happen once every 6 months, twice a year. So this solar eclipse that we just had was in Scorpio, Sun in Scorpio, conjunct to the north node of the moon. So that's what makes an eclipse. So we had the Sun in Scorpio, also Moon in Scorpio, Mars and Pluto. They were all in conjunction. They were all in Scorpio. And we have Capricorn in Scorpio and Saturn in Scorpio for the next couple of years. And as soon as we move out of the Sun being in Scorpio, Venus, which has been in Libra, nice, balancing, sweet Libra, is going to move into Scorpio. So Venus, our love life, what we love. So Scorpio takes us into the depths of our desire, the depths of the unconscious. So what we're being asked or forced, however you experience it, to be with and look at during this time frame is the depths of our unconscious. What is it that we haven't wanted to deal with about basically our humanness that we have an opportunity to work with at this time? What's our deepest desire? What's our deepest emotional desires? What's unfinished business? What pulls us down? What takes us down and what takes us up? These are all the Scorpio questions which have to do with how we're working or how we're managing our tattvas or our own five elements. So the opposite, astrologically, the opposite on the opposite side of the zodiac wheel from Scorpio is Taurus. And I'm a Taurus, so I speak from some amount of experience. So Taurus is ruled by Venus, and Taurians like to feel like they have it all together and they're self-sufficient and they have their house and they have this and they have that. The words for Taurus are, I have. And so Taurus being ruled by Venus is beauty and love and living in the Garden of Eden, and that's where heaven is, and making beautiful, wanting everything to be beautiful, where Scorpio is ruled by Mars and Pluto, so it's the opposite. So if Taurus is heaven, living in the garden, Scorpio is hell, the opposite. It's like, what's outside of the garden? Scorpio wants. Scorpio craves to explore the depths. Scorpio desires. Scorpio wants things. Scorpio wants something from everything. Scorpio wants something from you. Scorpio, the Scorpio part of you, that solar eclipse, is wants to go to the depths. Scorpio wants to do battle, where the Venusian Taurus wants everything to be peaceful and pleasant. Scorpio is going to go into the battlefield of the underworld. It's going to go into the depths, willing to go into the depths of the wounding, the depths, the great unconscious where no man has gone before, or no woman, or no sane person has gone that deeply into the underworld. It wants to explore. We will be exposed to the root core issues. Those ones that we don't really want to talk about, those part of our human experience that maybe we don't want to deal with, our sexuality, our family wounding, all those things that we want to transcend in our meditation. But as we move into the tattvas, we get to deal with what has our human experience been these last 13,000 years, this last out-breath, as we're moving back up into the in-breath. So 13,000 years ago, interestingly enough, is when, for those of you who are more inclined to this type of thinking, is supposedly when the Anunnaki, which is a race of ETs or extraterrestrials, came upon the Earth and fashioned, through a hybrid method, part animal and parts extraterrestrial genes into human beings, which could then mine gold for them, be slaves for them, to mine gold for their planet, that they needed for their planet to survive. So, according to certain thoughts, this human form was created 13,000 years ago by the Anunnaki, which I think is interesting because, as I said, the Mayans say that we are completing this 26,000-year cycle, and half of the cycle is an in-breath, and half of the cycle is an out-breath. So we're moving back into the in-breath cycle, where we're returning back to more light, away from the density. So as we move into the in-breath cycle, we have this whole period of Scorpio, 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 Scorpio. What are those parts of ourselves that we've maybe disowned, or our human parts of ourselves? So as Yogi Bhajan tells us, we're part animal, part human, and part divine. And of course, the goal or the game is for us to bring heaven onto earth and bring the divine, penetrate the darkness of physical form with the light of the divine. So as the light shines upon the darkness, we get to see what maybe some of our desires, where they've taken us, or unfulfilled desires, or deep intensity things that we feel really personal about that maybe we haven't expressed. So maybe it's things that we've wanted to avoid. Maybe it's configurations in our family. Maybe it's somebody's making demands on me, and I don't want that person to make demands on me, but will I be bad if I don't fulfill everybody's demands? Maybe there's some patterns like that for you and your family. I had an experience with, I kept having lots of house guests for long periods of time, and I realized that I was not able to meet everybody's demands or needs, and I basically have to take a break from having so many people stay here in kind of this small house for long periods of time, kind of expecting things from me. So that was, I would say, that I had to really come to terms with the realization that I could not meet everybody else's demands and that I really needed to focus more on myself. So I would say that was one of my Scorpio Shadowland learnings, that I really need to take more space for myself to work on things that Spirit wants me to work on. I want to work on. So Scorpio takes us, is astrologically ruled by the loins, where like Taurus is the neck, Aries is the head, Leo's like the heart chakra, the chest. So when you get into Scorpio, it's the loins, which has to do with our sexuality, our second chakra, our creativity. So the most personal item that we have is our physical body. So when we start dealing with other people getting close to us, issues, sexual issues, we take those most personally. So this Scorpio gets up close and personal about whatever kinds of intimate experiences we've had, or how we deal with intimacy. How do we communicate our needs around that? How do we communicate our feelings around that? Because we all actually are born because of sexuality. So it's in us. It's something that we have to look at. We have to come to terms with our part of our desire body. So these are the types of things that were really, really, really these very deep, these human issues we're looking at, so that we're not necessarily trying to give up desire, but this comes in with the tattvas. It's the consciousness through which we work with what we desire, and how, when these desires come up for us, how we express them, how we work with them. Do we communicate our needs from the heart? Do we ask for what we need? Or do we just imagine that people are going to give us what we need without asking? Do we just imagine that people are going to mind read what we need and give us what we need? And then are we angry if we don't get what we need? So this is a really, really deep, deep, personal introspection time where we're meeting our human desires, and we're working with them to integrate all of our human desires, our sexual needs, our personal needs, our wants, the wants of people around us, the interplay of the tattvas, the interplay of the opposite forces, the interplay of polarity, our attachment to duality. These are the really intense humanoid animal concepts that we're trying to integrate as we move back up the 31 levels of the tattva, back into the experience of union with the divine. So even if you experience that you feel totally liberated and not pulled around by any desires at all, there's the, as Yogi Bhajan says, I, we, thee. There's the personal issues that we have, then there's the issues we have when we're in relationship to other people, and then then there's the collective or the group issues. So when we've actually worked through our own personal karmic issues and we're no longer pulled around by our individual desires, such as lust or something, then we move into the space of, like we said, the bodhisattvas, where we start taking on how to work with the collective unconscious. And that's what we're moving into a lot in these calls, by just receiving the pure transmissions from the Master and becoming more pure ourselves. Then we're able to kind of move sort of these denser energies back towards the divine through our own purification, through our own light bodies, so to speak. So we gain more control over our light bodies rather than being controlled by that shadow world, the unknown. So whatever comes up for you during this time is very precious. It's part of your life force. It's part of learning about your personal self. It's really a time to really explore very deeply and learn more about what is keeping us tied to the earth plane. And when we know how to work with these tattvas, then we're in what the yogis call a state of liberation, or, as I said, like Dr. Mukti, a state of mukti, a state of liberation, being liberated while alive. And it all has to do with how we unhook from these deep, deep, deep tendencies or desires. We have, in each of our chakras have a certain type of desire. And the seven types of desires of the chakras are: the first chakra has to do with a desire for security. The second chakra has a desire for procreation. The third chakra has a desire for longevity. The fourth chakra for sharing. The fifth chakra, a desire for knowledge. The sixth chakra, a desire for self-realization. And the seventh, or crown chakra, has a desire for union with the divine. So you can look and see, when different personal feelings come up for you, what chakra you need to work with in relationship to the tattvas and the gunas. So we've also got Saturn in Scorpio for a couple years, and Saturn has to do with maturity, with growing up. So we're really learning how to grow up as humans from this kind of adolescent state of not knowing how to deal with our desires, or being uncomfortable, and, you know, living in cultures that shame people for their sexuality and say you have to hide it, things like that. And how do we deal with our human selves in a mature way? How do we deal with the shadow land in its mature way? How do we communicate with each other? How do we ask for what we want? How are we respectful of others? How can we live on the planet together basically in peace, rather than, you know, creating a planet where there's so much, so to speak, hell still exists? So this is what we're growing into. We're growing into learning how to live peacefully amidst all these desires. So where the game, as I said, really is to combine spirit and matter, not just bringing light into matter, but it's the alchemical combination. So that's what we as the bodhisattvas are doing. We are alchemizing in a new way, because this is the first time that we know about that we've brought enough light onto the planet that we have the opportunity to transcend, to ascend into these higher frequencies and not destroy the planet and keep our physical bodies. So this is really a whole new experience. And we're learning. We're learning how to own our desires and needs so that we can see ourselves more clearly, so that we can see how to work with the tattvas, see how to learn how to combine the energies and how to bring the light into the physical and how to work with the gunas. So this is truly a time of balance, of true awakening, a time of looking at our fears, seeing what they are, and seeing what's really driving us and working with them. So this isn't just a heavy shadow time. It's really a time of learning, a time of mastery. Okay, so keep breathing into your belly, pulling a slight root, and if you can, you know, moving your spine a little bit, because the tantric transmission right now, I'm feeling it coming down into our roots, first three chakras, feet, legs, connection with the earth, so we can feel that the earth is a nurturing place. There we go. Good, good. So as we said last week, and I'm going to briefly review the overview, we are what creation exists from the building blocks, the mud and water, are the tattvas. The five lower frequencies of the 31 tattvas are the tattvas that we know about. Ether, air, fire, water, and earth. So the combination of those tattvas is what our physical bodies are created out of. And those are the five, so to speak, lowest or densest levels of the 31 levels of the tattvas. So the pure consciousness is the top level, and then we have the so to speak, the densest level is like earth or mud, of just the building blocks. So they're building blocks, and then so with the building blocks we combine them with our consciousness. So the building, so those are the tattvas are the building blocks, and as we get more into the ethers and the meditative mind, then we can start to also work with the finer levels of ether, and we don't have names, although I was just thinking about it earlier when I was walking. I think that there's probably a shabad for each of the 31 levels of all the tattvas, and that's what Yogi Bhajan was saying. Yes, there is, and I probably need somebody who knows something more about the shabads or the Sri Guru Granth Sahib who could maybe help us, you know, define those levels. But so as we move into working with the tattvas, we work with them from our consciousness. So our consciousness is basically either, as we said a minute ago, sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. So tamasic is the animal level. We're part animal, part human, and part divine. Rajasic is the human level, the earthling. And then sattvic is the angelic human, or the divine human. So we're not giving up our physical bodies or our animal bodies. We're not going to be just human, and we're not going to be just angels. So it's the process of combining. Okay, keep breathing. Sri Singh Sab is penetrating some density in some of the first three chakras. Okay, good. Keep breathing. Don't take it personally, or take it personally. I have no idea. He's not showing me. It's just he's also saying we're doing this for the collective, so. Good. Keep breathing. Exhale, too. If you have water next to you, take a drink of water. Okay, I'm feeling it in my third eye. Something's really opening up. Okay, great. So, okay. So, the gunas determine the consciousness that you live in. Sri Singh Sab calls it the altitude and the attitude, which I'm sure you've heard before, or not. But it has to do with how much clarity you have and how much lightness you have. So when Tej Preet gave the example of as just about as she starts to think about something, which is manifestation, and manifestation is really part of a a earth tattva, how things started appearing around her, then that shows me that she's working with the earth tattva from a light or sattvic or etherically connected awareness or guna. So our consciousness is really what determines what shows up around us, how we feel, how we live life has to do with the consciousness. Is more important, is really the most important factor that we need to focus on or balance first, and then we can be aware how we're using. So, like examples, if you feel a lot of passion or desire, or feel angry about something, if you're working with the Agni Tattva, then you can notice how you, alchemical, how you combine that element with your consciousness. So it's an alchemical combination. So do you combine the Agni Tattva with kind of revengeful feelings, or do you combine the Agni Tattva with more like sattvic feelings? So it's the alchemy. So the tattvas and the gunas go together in an alchemical process. So everything is about how we combine our consciousness with these elements to basically move into that frequency of becoming divine and serving the divine. So you can ask yourself the question, whatever comes up for you, or whatever, with all this Scorpio energy, whatever issues come up for you, or unhealed wounds, or childhood things, or sexual feelings, or abuse, or whatever shows up for you, you can look at your own consciousness around what happened. So it's good, Yogi Bhajan is saying, it's good to write down, you know, stuff that comes up for you, maybe journal about it. Like at first you might have a big emotional charge about it, like a lot of density around it, because a certain experience could have occurred originally in a more dense environment where we didn't have as much access to the light of consciousness. But right now, Yogi Bhajan is telling us that we can bring the sattvic light of consciousness into any past pain, memory, experience, or anything that's trapped in our physical body, and that we can release things very quickly right now. So that's really the most important point right now of talking about this whole subject, is learning that how we work with the alchemy of our own bodies, our own tattvas, our own memories, our own traumas, that we work with our alchemy is through the light of our own consciousness. So we're not, it takes us out of that feeling of being victims, being a victim of somebody else, even if something happened when we were children. It takes us out of the victim consciousness, and then as we leave the victim consciousness, because that's what we're really talking about, the places where we were wounded in the shadow land, where we didn't have control over what happened to us, then we're able to move into co-creation, co-connection with the divine. We move up into frequency status of the awareness, oh, I am co-creating with the divine, and the divine is the etheric field of consciousness. And consciousness and co-creation is an interactive alchemical process. So we can look and see, are we creating more light? Are we creating more golden light? And Yogi Bhajan is telling me one way to experience the different levels of the tattvas is the quality of the light, and he's saying that you can see that or feel that. Like if the light is more of a golden quality, then you know that you're in the higher frequencies of the tattvas. So he's saying that we have the ones we just talked about, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Then he said you can go into colors besides the specific shabdas or sounds that go with each of the 31 tattvas beyond the ones beyond those five. So you can play around with it and talk to us more about next week how you experience these other levels. and layers. So what I want to give us time to do the Satanama, so I'm going to kind of not talk about some of these other concepts right now. But I did want to say that the most important piece of this whole kind of like what we're sharing about right now is that to move from kind of an earthbound, so to speak, state of mind into one, a state of mind that's mukti or liberated beyond the tattvas. So the only way to do that is by mastering a mantra, by merging into the sound current, the nod. And in this way, we move from the, you know, the denser or grosser levels to into the more subtle realms, and from the subtle realms into merging with the infinite. And it's that merging with the infinite through mantra that creates the liberation from the attachment and the desire bodies of the tattvas that keeps us reincarnating again and again from that state of being. So after we, so it's by mastering these mantras, and then once we can merge back into the infinite, then as we serve, so shall we be served. Then God or the infinite or consciousness will come to serve us as a cycle of perfection. So the mantra that Yogi Bhajan gave us to master the tattvas is Satanama. So it's so beautiful. What a gift it is. Thank you, sir. He's like nodding his head. You're welcome. That we have been given the Satanama mantra at this time. And I know everybody said they've been practicing it, and I'm so thrilled. And he wants us to go ahead and meditate with that again today. So again, you're going to, for those, if there's new people on the call, because I did put this out on Facebook, and sometimes people jump on and they don't necessarily introduce themselves. So what you want to do is imagine the sound coming in through the top of the head, the crown chakra, and out the third eye. And if you could sit, you know, cross-legged, and for each sound, Satanama, the thumb touches the first finger, then the thumb touches second finger, so on. Satanama, touching each finger, stimulating meridians in the brain. Satanama. So this particular version is Satanama. So you'll get into the rhythm of it. So enjoy. Thank you. alchemical balance of all your tattvas connected with your sattvic consciousness in your body. And exhale, let it go, let it go, let it go. Beautiful. And slowly come back, and you can choose whatever Satnam chant you want to work with. So lots of different recordings. I just wanted to try a different recording this week than we used last week. So would anybody like to share or comment, or before we complete, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Tea Day. Happy Non-Turkey Day. So if anybody would like to share, you're welcome to share. And is anybody still there?
Yes. If I could just add something very small. I mean, it's not small, but there is like, there's almost like a war in the Middle East, like on a brink of a war. And if we could, in our meditation, send some love and healing to that area.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Definitely. I appreciate that. Yes. We will. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Master, and thank you, Guru Kirin. I love you.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bodhisattvas.
Thank you, Bodhisattvas, and thank you, Dr. Mukti. Wasn't that special that we got to meet Dr. Mukti today? That was a really beautiful.
And what a perfect time to say thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Master. And thank you. I thank you.
Yes. A moment of gratitude.
I just heard from my husband. It's okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk to Mukti to work with him.
Thank you, Dr. Mukti.
Oh, like we did with my friend. So you can have him breathe into that. Good. Congratulations. Good. Excellent. Okay. Thanks for letting me know.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay, is there anything else from anybody? Is Lisa on the line? Or somebody?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Lisa, did you want to have an appointment with me?
Oh, I thought you said Irit.
Oh, I said Lisa. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. Yes, I always like appointments with Irit.
I do too.
Yes, I know. We'll have to talk. So,
yes.
Definitely feel good about that. Yeah, no, there's somebody who said she's on the call sometimes who doesn't speak that wanted to, so she wanted to talk to me after the call, but I just wasn't sure. Okay, I guess not. So I thought I'd ask.
Hello.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Okay, did you want to talk after the call?
Yes.
Okay, well, just, you know, call me like in about 15 minutes, or do you have my number?
I have your number, and I also have your Skype, too.
Okay.
So, I'll call you or Skype you.
Okay, I will, which one would you, well, just, okay. What would you like to do?
Which is better for you?
Just call me on the phone first so I can make sure my Skype's set up. And I'll set my Skype up also as a backup.
Okay, I'll call you then.
Okay, great.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay, bye for now. Okay, everybody, I think that's it for today. So thank you, Satnam. Thank you, Yogi Bhajan. Thank you, Dr. Mukti. And thank you, Bodhisattvas. And we will talk next week. Satnam. Bye-bye.